Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It's Mark Rawson from Spiritual Connections Radio, and we're here with another great episode with Dr. Connie. As you know, she is on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you want to find out more about the different shows we have on Spiritual Connections Radio, you can go to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, Dr. Connie?
I am here. Thank you, Mark. Good evening, everyone. My name is Dr. Connie McNeil. My website is www.drconniesays.com. I usually spend this show talking about angels, but I wanted to make just a small segue and talk about power animals this evening and ways that we can connect to our higher self and to our spirituality through nature. Totem animals, power animals, have been a part of mankind and being able to step into the spiritual side for as long as there's been humans. So a lot of people find it easier to work with a power animal or a power substance like a flower or something like that or a tree, because they can see it. And angels sometimes tend to be more ethereal and maybe a little they're a little step back because we can't see them as readily. So anytime that you need to connect with something and you want something tangible, you can always connect to a power animal or anything in nature, because as we are all energy, God and the angels use flowers, trees, animals, the breeze, the sunshine, so many other ways that we can connect along with the angels so that we have that we stay calm, we stay peaceful, we stay moving toward being the best we can be. So I'm just going to run through some things that you could do, and ways that might be able to help you. One of the best ways to ground yourself, and by grounding, I mean when we get anxious or when we get fearful, when we get nervous, when we don't know what direction we go and we start feeling really scattered, we can ground ourselves like a tree grounds itself to the ground by its roots. And one of the things that I usually do before I start a meditation is I will plant my feet flat on the ground, and I will imagine roots growing from the bottom of my feet deep into the earth. And that way I feel unshakable. I feel like that I could stand in the force of what life throws at me and be able to withstand anything that, you know, that life throws me. This can be done anywhere. You can be sitting in your office. You can be sitting on a bus, in your car, and just imagine that the roots are growing from your feet deep into the ground. And I believe that you'll find that you'll start feeling a bit more balanced, and you won't feel quite like you're waving in the wind. There was the expression about going and hugging a tree, and a lot of people actually do that because people can establish a relationship with trees to the point that when they go to a tree, they can put their hands on the bark, and actually the tree will start absorbing the sadness, or they'll absorb the negative energy, and then in return, they'll give the grounding and they'll give the stability to the individual. So the term go hug a tree probably isn't all that bad. And when we have the weather that we're having right now, and it's so beautiful outside in most places, getting outside and walking and observing the flowers and the grass and the trees and what God has given us in nature can be a very healing process. There are nature angels that come in the way of fairies. So the fairies can surround you when you are out in nature and provide even more of a connection with God and the universe when you're out in nature. One of the best ways to open your heart to receiving love from other people, and I'm not talking about romantic love so much as I'm talking about just the love that you have from one person to another person, love for yourself, love for your children, love for humanity as a whole. One of the best ways of being able to do that is with the flower, the rose. It's long been known for its beauty and its fragrance, but it actually is associated with the heart, and it helps open the heart to love. And what some people do is you can bring roses into your home and keep the aroma in your home. I wear actually a lot of the times a rose quartz necklace, and it's the stone actually rests against my skin. It just has a silver lining around the stone, so the stone is actually exposed on the front and the back, so it sits against my skin, and that is a way to keep my heart open. And I want to love me and respect me as much as I want to love and respect everybody else. So it's also an important thing to keep me in mind when it comes to the people that I want to love. Some people also buy essential oils, and you can get essential oils that have a rose scent, and you can put a little, underneath your nose somewhere so that you can smell it frequently and keep it close to you. But you can certainly use a very common flower to help you connect with God, with yourself, and with the angels and with the fairies. Another animal that you can connect with would be the eagle. And what the eagle does, it helps us with making choices. And it helps us to clarify our choice. I grew up in a home that our decisions were very black and white. And there was a right and a wrong, or a good or a bad, or a yes or a no. And there was no gray. And what I find that the eagle plays in the gray. When the eagle is up in the air and can see all of its choices, then it makes the best choice that it can at the time. And it goes and selects something, and he doesn't select it as good or bad. It's the best choice for him at the time because that's what he wanted to choose. And then after he chooses that, he doesn't berate himself or look back and go, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. That was a dumb choice. He can look at the choices he's made, and he can stay with it. He can change it. He can refine it. He can enhance it. He can do whatever he wants with it. But it's not a matter of, did I make a good choice or a bad choice? Did I do the right thing or the wrong thing? I made the best choice that I could. I made the choice I wanted to make. By and large, anytime we're in a situation, we made the choice that we really wanted to make. So did we make the right choice? Yeah, we did. When we are there, what the ego does is it helps us to decide, does this choice continue to be good for me? And am I continuing to move in a place that helps me to grow and be the best I can be? The Native Americans have long looked at eagles as sacred. The eagle feathers have been used, if you see the old Westerns, they all have the eagle headdresses, because they looked at the eagle as such a powerful spiritual animal. So eagle feathers, you can put up pictures of eagles, you can do any number of things that would call to mind for you an eagle. My power animal actually is a hawk, and there are times when I pray and I talk to the hawk. And it's uncanny the number of times that I physically see a hawk when I start thinking about it and talking to it and visualizing it and wanting to see one, that they suddenly appear. So I asked the angels the other day, I really needed a sign that I was making a choice that was the best choice for me, because you can certainly ask for guidance when it comes to choices. And I asked specifically to see a hawk, and I was driving down the road, and a hawk flew right in front of my car window. So it's the closest I'd ever come to actually seeing one. They soar in the sky a lot. But this couldn't have been more than 4 feet in front of my car. So it was really a powerful message that the angels gave me. But if you choose to want to work with the power of the eagle, and you ask for a sign, and you ask for a sign that would have something to do with an eagle, you may be surprised what the universe will do for you with that. Another animal that you can work with for problem solving or manifesting your goals is the elephant. When I was growing up, an elephant was always my favorite animal, and I had all these stuffed elephants, usually what the universe does is it gives us a natural inclination. If we all have a power animal, or more than one. And a lot of times what the universe will do will give us a natural inclination toward that particular animal. So we may find that we just have a thing for elephants, and we go out and buy little, you know, elephant trinkets. But if you call upon the power of the elephant, that the goal would be to manifest your goals and for problem solving. And the reason that the elephant has the capacity to manifest is because he follows the path of his heart. And the elephants have huge hearts. So you can choose to focus on an immediate or a long-range plan and call on the power of the elephant. If you choose to, the Hindu god Ganesh is the one that has the elephant head. You can buy a small or a large, have a statue or a symbol of Ganesh in your home. You can hold it in your hand when you meditate. You can have a, you know, regular elephant something. There's any number of ways that you can connect with the symbolism of an elephant. And if you want to ground yourself and think about your problems or what it is you want to solve or what it is you want to manifest and be able to quiet your mind, then having a tangible representation of the power that you're calling upon is a very powerful way of connecting with that essence. We should never question whether we have the power and the ability to call upon the power of the angels or the power of the animals or the nature world, because we're all the same thing. We all come from the same source. We all have the godness in us. So it's like calling to your brother or your sister or a close friend. It's calling upon something that you already have a relationship with. And the only thing that keeps us from understanding that is the learning that we've had growing up in a human body. And if we can allow ourselves to step out of that box of human learning and remember who we are, which is spirit in a human body, communing with other spirits, then it's a much easier realization of how powerful we are and how powerful our connections are with the angels and with the nature animal world. So whatever works for you to have the sense that you've really connected with something, then do that, because there's no wrong way to connect. If you want to stay with angels, do that. If you want to stay with totem animals, do that. If you want to stay with the nature world, do that, because it's all interconnected. And if you're not going to lose one thing by going to another source. So again, there's no wrong way to do this. One of the interesting ways of protection is actually the poison oak. So it's interesting that God will use every aspect of his creation to make it to make a meaningful dent into our lives. But usually poison oak grows in an area where the ground has been disturbed. And by having the poison oak there, it protects that area so that the earth has an opportunity to heal itself. So what we can do, and I'm not saying go roll around in the poison oak, but I am saying you can call upon the power of the poison oak and the intention of the protection of the poison oak to protect you, especially if you're very sensitive and you're very gentle. And what I find, at least for, this is just for me personally, the closer that I get, the more that I align with my spiritual side, and the more that I allow my spirit to control my body as opposed to my body controlling my spirit, I am more sensitive. So calling upon a protective something, I actually do it every day, but having that mindset and that vision of a poison oak and understanding that God is so concerned about his creation that he would put protection for the nature world so that the earth can heal itself, how much more will he protect us when we call upon him, call upon the angels, call upon our power animal or other deities? How much more would the universe protect us when it's so concerned even about when a patch of earth is disturbed? So when you think about it like that, it's a pretty cool thing. Another animal that's very important to call on is the swan. And I know we all think about the ugly duckling that turned into this beautiful animal. But one of the things that the swan does, it helps us to balance our inner mate so that I can connect with the swan in order to balance my feminine side with my masculine side, and for men to balance their masculine side with their feminine side, so that the more balanced I am internally and emotionally and physically, the better connected I can be to my partner. Most of the questions that I get as a psychologist is, how can I find somebody to date? I'm so lonely. Here I am all by myself. Calling on the swan and letting the swan teach us how to connect with the male and female energy that we are, and balancing that would make it very much easier for us to attract the right individual that we want in our life. Because most of the time what we do is we attract people that are just like the person that we attracted before that we didn't like. They may look different and act different at the beginning, but pretty soon we're starting to see traits of the same thing that caused us a problem the time before. And the reason we do that is because we haven't made a significant change within ourselves to be able to attract a different energy, for a higher energy, for more of what it is we want. We can think it, but we don't ever do anything to, we don't make the changes that we need to make to attract the individual that we want to attract, this wonderful God intended mate for us. Because a lot of people ask me, am I ever going to get married? And my answer is, yeah, if you really want to, because God said he'll give you the desires of your heart. But he's not going to match you up with somebody who's going to not be a match for you. And the way to balance that so that we have the energy to create what it is we want in a relationship. And this is not only a romantic relationship, which most of the time it is, but the relationship with our work relationship, so that we're attracting the right fit there, as well as our home and our friends and other aspects of our life. We do that by calling upon the power of the swan. And I'm looking at the time, so I still have more time. So Mark, what do you think? Does any of this resonate, or you have any?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think from doing a lot of readings for people, I find that, you know, lots of times people come out of a relationship, they haven't done the work, and, you know, they get into a new situation. Of course, it's all new and it's a different person, everything like that. But because they haven't done the work, because they haven't, you know, changed the vibration, if you want to call it, learned from what they need to learn from, you know, let go of energy that they no longer need to hang on to, that, you know, within 2 or 3 months, they basically will be in the same relationship they were before with someone completely different.
Right. And if we have come into this world to learn a lesson, the universe is going to give us multiple opportunities to learn that lesson. So if my lesson is to have a deep love for myself, the universe may actually let me get into relationships that I have to struggle to maintain my sense of self, so that I can learn how to maintain a sense of self. And one of these days, I'm going to get tired of being treated the way that I'm treated, and I'm ready to walk away and do something different. And that, Mark, is what you were saying about changing the vibrational energy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I guess one of the questions I would have for you is, how can you tell the difference between being in a lesson and learning something, like staying in a relationship and just recognizing, well, you know, I'm in this situation, maybe I'm not too happy, but this feels like a lesson, I should probably stick through it and learn from it and everything like that. How can you tell the difference between something like that and just being in a really bad relationship or something that's just a bad fit? Because if you were to look at it from a different angle, if you were to take away the spiritual lessons, you might actually be able to take a step back. If you're looking at this from a day-to-day, no spirituality kind of view, you'd say, you know what, this is a really bad relationship, so why am I staying in it?
Right. And this is an opportunity to... All right. Let me figure out how to... I'm trying to come at this one way, and it's not working for me. I'm coming at it another way. I had a woman who came to my practice, and lovely woman, articulate, intelligent, had a very, very good paying job. Was in a relationship with an individual that was very demeaning and very hurtful, and had been was disabled, and saw her as being very capable and had lots of friends, and here he was, and he wasn't anywhere near that. And what it did for her was it strengthened her desire and her intention of making a marriage work, because she did not believe in divorce. So it was a, how can I be stronger? What more can I do? How can I make this? So that was her way of deciding what was really important for her and just making it work, even though she would come to session just demoralized sometimes. But her intention and her deep belief, and sometimes when we get into a relationship and it's not working, we realize what it is we really want. And for her, it was, I want this marriage to work. And there was no alternative. For somebody else, it may be, you know, what I really want is, and they would have done that. So did that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. So why don't we go ahead and we'll go to break and come back and talk more about power animals and totems and stuff like that. So everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. On the website there, you'll find out about this show and lots of other shows that we host every day. And we always welcome your feedback and comments and any ideas that you have for new programming or stuff like that. We do get so much great feedback, and we really love hearing from everybody. So thank you. And with that, what is your website, Dr. Connie?
www.drconniesays.com.
Excellent. So I don't know if this would be a good time to do something like this, and we definitely don't need to fling it on you, but do you want to go through some quick, like, five-minute meditation thing so that the listeners can see if they can figure out what their power animal is?
Okay. All right, let me think. Yes. Okay. So here's what I want you to do. First off, I want you to realize that your power animal wants to make itself known to you more than you want to know which one it is. So there are people that may go through a meditation and they're not going to get an immediate answer, and then they walk away thinking they're a big dummy because they somehow didn't do something right. But what you've done, regardless of where you're at in your journey, what you've done is you've started the process to make the connection with your power animal. And what I have learned is, and what we talked about a little bit last week, it's starting a relationship. So I can't expect to have relationships start if I haven't done any work, or if I'm just starting out, or if I'm tentative and unsure of myself, or if I'm too busy asking questions. I'm starting the relationship and it's moving forward, but I may not get, you know, the immediate, I may not wake up and my power animal's laying in bed next to me the next morning kind of thing. But I have made significant strides toward building the relationship with my power animal. So having said all that, and I don't want you to try too hard, because the harder I try, the more black I see. So this is an opportunity to just allow yourself to be and let whatever happens happen. And trust what you hear and trust what you see and trust what you think, because just as we've talked about the different ways that the angels communicate with you, your power animals are going to do the same thing. So some of you may think of an animal, some of you may see an animal, some of you may see, you know, like a wildebeest and has all aspects of animals in it. So whatever you see, just go with it, all right? So what I'd like you to do is sit in the position where you get your feet flat on the floor. And just take about 3 or 4 deep breaths from deep in your belly, letting your belly completely fill with air, which will help your lungs fill with air. And then as you exhale, I not only want you to blow out the tension that you've had from the day, but I want you to imagine your feet on the floor growing roots deep into the earth, so that the earth is communicating with you and that you're feeling grounded and you're feeling connected. So after you take 3 or 4 good deep breaths, Archangel Michael, God, I call upon you now that you would be with this listening audience, and that you would be with Mark, and you would be with me, and that whatever happens in this meditation be for your glory and for our good, and that we will know that we are connected to power and beauty and life and love, and that we will be a changed person for the experience that we will have in these next few moments. Thank you. So I'd like to imagine for each of you to imagine yourselves at the top of a staircase with 10 steps. There is a handrail. The handrail is very sturdy. You are not going to fall. The stairs and the steps are very, very sturdy. And as you begin to descend the steps, with each step, you're going to find that you're becoming more and more relaxed, that your breathing is more and more even and gentle, that your mind slows down. And with each step as you go down, you're going to have an eager anticipation for what's going to happen in this meditation. So standing on the top step, step number 10, we're going to start down 9, 8, 7, you're feeling more and more relaxed, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're standing in front of the door. And even before you open the door, as you put your hand and you push the door open, you already feel the beauty and the gentleness of your sacred space. And as you enter your sacred space, you're going to find a tree. And in this tree, there is a seat that is made especially for you. And as you go and you sit in this tree and you see the beauty of the sky and you see nature in all of its glory, whether you see mountains or streams or desert or beach, this is your sacred spot. And as you're looking around and you just notice the perfection of what you've created, and you smell the smells, and you feel the breeze, you see the colors, you see an animal coming towards you. You notice the shape, and you notice the color, whether it's fur or feathers or wings or scales. You notice the eyes, the immense size or the diminutive size, how fragile it is or how strong it is. And allow yourself to walk up to your animal or animals and look into the eyes and see the connection, the oneness that you are with it or them. And notice how much they want to be with you, more than you even want to be with them. And what they say to you is, if you will spend time with me, or time with us, we will be your constant and forever ally. And we are here for you. And when you need us, you will see us, or you will hear us, or you will think about us. Each time that you are with your animal, bring it some sort of a gift, whether it's a wish that they do well. If it is a animal that is nearing extinction, that you would do what is in your heart to protect that species, that you would do in your heart to protect the land area of that species, as your power animal gives to you, you give to your power animal. And in that way, you have an ever-connected bond. So thank your animal, knowing that it leaves with you and always with you. And leave it some sort of a gift, whether it's a thank you, or if you have something that you can give to them. And you can now go back up the stairs. You can stay in your sacred spot for as long as you wish. You can stay with your animal. I am going to leave you here. And you can come back whenever you choose to do so. So, okay. Do we have time for a couple more animals, or do we have calls? What do we have, Mark?
Let me go ahead and take a look.
Okay.
I think we have time for some more animals.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Sometimes I find it very interesting that we have in our mind, oh, gee, I should have had calls. This must be doing something wrong. When the universe has, since I've always dedicated this show to God, that God just lets me, you know, he really does what he needs to do. So that no calls is actually a good thing, because evidently there's more to learn from the animals. One thing that it's also very, very good to do with your animal, mine is a hawk and a wolf, so is to read. You can go look up totem animals, T-O-T-E-M, on the internet, and you can read about your animal. That way you get to know it so much better. For example, the butterfly, which is a animal that represents transformation and self-esteem. It's interesting that when a butterfly is wanting to break out of its cocoon, if you try to say, oh, let me help this butterfly and help it out and break the cocoon, the butterfly will die. Because it is the beating of the wings against the cocoon that strengthens the butterfly to be able to survive in the world. It is also the beating of the cocoon that gives the wings the vibrant color. So there are some times when the universe is going to throw you something that you can't think is a God-ordained event because it is so horrendous. But when you think back to a butterfly and the transformation, that the butterfly moves to a higher level of being and doesn't stay a caterpillar, but moves to a higher level of being because of the work it had to do to get to that level. So there's a lot to learn from the animal kingdom. There's also, and I apologize because I don't remember the exact bird, but there is a bird that most birds, they just sort of take off and fly. But there is a species of bird that can't fly unless it gets the amount of energy and the amount of wind that it needs. So what it does, it falls. It does a free fall. And when there's enough air current created from the fall, then it opens its wings, and that's what takes it off, and then it can fly. But just to jump out of a nest and fly, it would fall over. So sometimes the universe is going to let you fall so that you're going to create enough momentum that when you open your arms, you can fly. But if you don't understand what the universe is doing, it's quite possible you would say, I didn't sign up for this. And you cease to learn your lesson. So the animal world can teach us so much of what it means to be human. But if we don't avail ourselves to the lesson, the universe is going to give us another lesson. So the universe is going to put us in situations where we are afraid so that we will learn not to be afraid. if you called upon the power of the snow leopard. The snow leopard is actually a animal, obviously, to be feared. And what he says is, only when you have, this is what the snow leopard says about fear. Only when you have finally stopped running, when you have looked at your fear and found that place in you that knows you have no alternative but to stand fully firm and face me, will I slowly walk up to you, gaze into your eyes with my green eyes, and knock you down. Through your fear of me, I will take you places and you will learn things about yourself that nothing else can teach you but fear. Once you have faced me, I will curl up by your side to keep you warm and walk with you wherever you go, being your companion warrior when a warrior is needed. If we will just allow God to be God and know that God and the angels know what they're doing, that even when we are afraid because we are being taught not to be afraid. That when we are beating our wings against the cocoon, that not only do we emerge a different being, but we emerge stronger and more beautiful and more vibrant than we ever thought we could. So learning about your totem animal or learning about these animals that the universe will bring to your mind or you'll find in a book or somebody will say something, somehow you will get a message of this is an animal that you need to know about. Then you will find an amazing amount of information that you never thought you knew. So when you are afraid, call upon the power of the snow leopard and let the snow leopard take you into fear. And when you face the snow leopard and you face your fear, you will find that everything will be different. You will find that there is a solution or there is a way or there is a strength or there is a something that only you would have learned through your fear. If you want a relationship with money, which most of us do, call upon the power of the walrus, because the walrus has come to help heal our relationship with money. And if you think of a walrus, he kind of looks like a banker. He's got the little whiskers, and he doesn't have a cigar, but he kind of looks like, he's kind of reminiscent of the little guy on Monopoly without the long tusks. But he lives in abundance. He lives in the sea. And his whole body is about money. His tusks and his skin and the blubber, his whole being is about abundance and brings in money. So the walrus is very comfortable. The spirit and the power of the walrus is very comfortable with the idea of money and views it more as just a tool to balance rather than something to be gained and earned. Because the universe does not have a problem with us having abundance in all things, and we have a right to have abundance in all things. So calling upon the power of the walrus would help the flow of energy that creates money to be there. Because when we when we get fearful about money, we block the flow. Because when we continue to think about what we don't have, I don't have enough to pay the bills. Where am I going to get the money for the mortgage? My job doesn't pay me enough. Gas is so expensive, I can't afford food. When we begin to think thoughts like that, we create more lack, because we're thinking lack, we're throwing lack into the universe. So what the walrus does is it breaks that the thought space that we have about lack, because he lives in abundance, and his whole body is the epitome of abundance. A lot of times our relationship with money is difficult because our physical energy or our mental energy or our spiritual energy or all of the above is in imbalance. So when I get my energy level increased and stable, it also helps heal my relationship with money. The power of the walrus can help you with investments, can help you know how to manage your money properly. The power of the walrus can assist you with negotiating business deals. It's also helpful for people who manage their own businesses. So having something on your desk, or where you pay your bills, or maybe even having a walrus on your checks, something that would remind you of the balance of the money. Because again, the walrus, if you looked at yourself as your body as being nothing but abundant, living in an environment of abundance as the walrus lives in the water, think how differently you would live. So if it would help you to have a picture or a statue or a stuffed animal or something, do that.
Because, Dr.
Yeah.
Do you have time to take a call?
Oh, I do. It'll be a very short call. I have just a few minutes before the show ends, but I'm very happy to take the call.
Hi, you're on with Dr. Connie.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
I just wanted to say I'm very good. Your show is very inspirational to me.
Thank you.
I've been really worried. My town started up a new thing. Basically, they were saying people didn't have the emergency services didn't have enough days off. So they had to start doing cutbacks. And now for 12 hours every year, we don't have emergency services. And basically, they let anyone do whatever they want. And I've been really worried. Is there anything I can, pray to or talk to just, ease myself through this?
Absolutely. What's your biggest fear?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What's your biggest fear?
When anyone's allowed to do whatever they want, it gets a little crazy. We have a lot of gangs in my area. And, let's just say I've made a couple of them angry. And they just kind of come for me sometimes, and I have to hide, and it's really bad. I've been thinking about moving, but I don't have enough money to move.
Okay, so all right. So here's what the angels are asking you to do. Very interesting. Okay, let me get my. Hang on.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back now. It's very interesting when I – did you do the meditation?
Do I take medication?
Did you do the meditation? Were you on when
– Well, I try to do meditation, but, you know, life gets in the way sometimes, being busy and
okay.
stuff.
When you – when on the show just a few minutes ago when I did a brief meditation, were you on the air – were you listening in at that point?
No, I just got home from work and tuned in.
Okay. So it's very interesting that the show talked about power animals and having animals that do different things in our life. And one of the cards I pulled for you was getting to know your power animal.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that the angels want you to do is write down all of your cares and all of your concerns and all of your worries, physically write mm-hmm. them down.
Yeah.
And then you can either burn them as a way of releasing them to God. You can, if you have dreams and aspirations, you can put those in a God box, in a sacred space for you, and hold them. A place that's a place where you feel safe, a place where there's no games, a place where there's you have the services that you need all of the time. You also may be holding on to a lot of toxic energy, just because your environment kind of sounds like it's got a lot of toxicity in it, a lot of fear, a lot of anger, a lot of things that would kind of block you from feeling like you're protected. So one of the things that the angels want you to do. They see that you're very compassionate and that you're very sensitive, but that you're carrying a lot of this lower energy, the depression and the fear and the anger, just because of the environment that you live in. So what they're asking you to do is call upon Archangel Michael to clear you of these fear-based energies, because the angels can support you whether you have services or not. The universe can hold you in a cocoon type of environment and give you food and shelter and safety and security regardless of the environment. When you call upon the angels and when you ask the angels to help you discover your power animal so that you have a physical representation of what the angels and God can do with you. Does that make sense?
It's very helpful. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right, Dr. Connie, that wraps it up for another great show. It's always great to have you on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And give everybody your website.
Absolutely, www.drconniesays.com.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.